Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 103 of the English with Kirsty podcast. Today I want to talk about something to do with holidays, but I know that for some people the holiday season has already gone. Here in the UK, the whole of August is really holiday time because that's when the children have school holidays. But something somebody asked me the other day was, well, holidays are great, but I don't do any English when I'm on holiday, and then when I come back I've forgotten everything and I've been out of practice. It depends how long you go for, because 1 week it's not really going to make so much difference, but maybe a bit longer, and then you aren't in your usual routine, because part of the thing about effective language learning is it becomes part of your day and you don't think about it. You maybe do some English on the way to work or in your lunch break, or you know, you have lessons and then you have a routine, so it helps you to keep consistent with your language learning. But if you have some time off on holiday, then you don't do any of the normal things. You may get up later, you may stay up later, you may have no structure to your day, you may just be have a quiet holiday where you're lazing around by the pool, or a busy holiday where you're sightseeing. So all these things are great, and it's really important to have a holiday, whether that is going somewhere or just taking some time away from work or what you normally do. And for some people that's enough. They don't want to think about anything else like language learning. They want a complete break from everything. But one of my students did say, you know, I'd like to do something to just to keep my English ticking over while I'm on holiday. And what ideas did I have about that? So I thought, as well as sharing them with the student, I'd share them here. So I've just got some things that you can do that will help you to keep working on your English while you're on holiday. So it doesn't matter which ones you do. If you do any of them, you know, you've got a choice here. So they're looking at different skills, and obviously some will be more appealing than others. So just list them out here and then maybe give you some ideas. And if you have some more ideas about things that you've done, then let me know in the comments, or send an email to Kirsty, K-I-R-S-T-Y, at englishwithkirsty.com. And remember, if you write Kirsty, it won't reach me because that's not my name. It has to be Kirsty, K-I-R-S-T-Y. Okay, so some of the things that you can do. Well, one of the more obvious things, you know, read a book. Take a book with you. A lot of people take books with them for going on holiday. It can be a hard copy book if you want to pack some books to read on the plane or on the beach or wherever you go. Or it could be an ebook if you've got a Kindle, an e-reader. I read ebooks on my phone sometimes, could be something like that. Or it could be an audiobook. Again, you can download that on your phone. So I'm not being prescriptive about what kind of book, because whether you want to improve your listening or your reading skills, take a book, find some things that are interesting, maybe something you've wanted to read but haven't had the time for, or maybe you just want some things to, you know, like not very deep, but just something that will help you to relax, kind of holiday literature. Whatever interests you, then yeah, take a book or some books on holiday, because you don't want to finish your book and then have nothing to read. Or maybe have a look at the airport. You know, there are books there if you're going to an airport, or plan in advance what you think you'd like to read, what your friends recommend, that kind of thing. So yeah, books are great for going on holiday, because you often do have a bit more time that you can just sit somewhere and read a book. The second thing is podcasts. So it kind of ties in, you're already listening to this podcast, so you know what podcasts are. And if you subscribe to podcasts, you can either, for example, if you don't know what the Wi-Fi is going to be like on holiday, you can download some before you go. Or you can set up your podcast reader so that it's subscribed and it downloads when new episodes become available. Either way, if you want something to listen to, then think about which podcast would be interesting for you, whether it's about learning languages or about some of your hobbies or about the news or about something to do with your kind of business. I've got all of those types of things on my podcast feed. It's a real mixture. And that's good because it keeps it interesting. I can't listen to the same thing over and over again. I like to have variety. So yeah, think of a few podcasts that you think would be interesting and subscribe to them, and then you have something to listen to. And I find that this is quite nice on the plane as well, because sometimes obviously you can't download on the plane, but I've downloaded a load of podcasts before and then had something to do if you want an alternative to watching movies. So yeah, books and podcasts. Number three is something that I did when I went to the Netherlands, and we went to Amsterdam and we went on a boat trip, and it was a guided boat trip, so there was information available about what you were passing, the buildings, the history, that kind of thing. And it was available in different languages, so I took the German one. The English was available, but German is my second language, so I thought, okay, that's good, I'll do a language exercise as well. So in some places you may be able to find tour guides or audio guides in your native language, but if you want to work on your English, then take the English one, and that will help you to learn about the place that you're visiting in English. So that's something that I did. I've done it on several occasions. I think on one occasion there was no English available, so I took the German one. But it is a good way to build learning English into your holiday if you can learn about the sites in English as well. Number four is the news channels in your hotel room. You probably have at least one news channel. Depends where you go, obviously, but when I've been traveling around Europe, there have been channels in the country's native language, but there have also been one or two English channels. So if you are just relaxing in the hotel room, then that is another way to get access to information in English, maybe the news or something, or maybe a film channel you can get in English. So it is available even if you're not in an English-speaking country. There's usually at least one channel on the hotel TV that is in English. Number five, talking to people. Now, I'm not one of these people that likes to go up to random strangers and have conversations, and that's just not me. If it's you, then cool, then you can, maybe English will be the common language that you have with the other people if you don't speak the language of the place that you're going. So yeah, you can do that. But even for people who don't like, you know, going up to random strangers and saying, hey, I just heard you speaking English and I speak English, there are other ways that you can get into conversations with people. I remember when I was in Sicily with some friends, we were having a drink at a bar, and there was a lady there from Switzerland, and she was speaking Italian, and obviously I asked if she spoke German, thinking she possibly did, coming from Switzerland, and she did. So we were able to speak in German, and because of that, the guy who ran the bar, who only spoke Italian, wanted to talk to our group, because there were quite a few of us, and he wanted to know where we were from and if we were enjoying our holiday. So he came out, spoke to the lady in Italian, who then told me in German, and then I told the rest of the group in English, and then yeah, it was fun. We had used three languages in order to communicate, because the English speakers and the Italian speakers couldn't communicate, so it went through German, and that was a lot of fun. And she was a nice lady, and I enjoyed that evening because I just thought it was interesting because I spoke German and she spoke German, and then these other two groups of people were able to communicate. So whilst it is good to, you know, start talking to people, it doesn't have to be something that's really out of your comfort zone. If you're not somebody who would naturally do that, you can sometimes fall into conversations without having to approach people and say, hi, I want to practice my English. It doesn't have to be like that. It can just be somebody on the next table, or somebody that you meet around the pool, or somebody that you get chatting to, asking for directions. I don't know, it doesn't have to be as forced as some of the language advice that I've heard. It can be more natural as well. But anyway, if you find people, even if English isn't their native language, perhaps it will be a good language for you to use, so that you can understand each other if you don't speak each other's languages. Number six, this is more for people who want to do something active, because reading is great, but it's more of a passive exercise. If you enjoy writing, you could maybe write something about what you're experiencing, what you've seen, what you've done. maybe like a diary or a blog or even just something so that you can remember it. Because if you have lessons, for example, I always ask my students, yeah, how was your holiday? What did you do? You know, just to for some general conversation. So if your English speaking friends will ask you afterwards, you know, how was your holiday? Then, yeah, it'd be easy for you to tell them if you make some notes or write something or make a video or make like an audio, what would you call it? It's not a vlog because it's not a video, and it's not a blog because it's not written. Like an audio diary about what you're doing. So you can choose whether you're writing, speaking, or doing a video. But yeah, if you want to make some memories as well. I remember when I was a child, I used to take a small tape recorder around everywhere with me to record the places that we went and the things that we did. And that's a really nice way to make memories. We don't have tape recorders anymore because obviously your phone and you can make videos. But yeah, it's a good way to remember your holiday. And if you want to combine that with English, then you can talk about it in English at the same time. And the last thing, I put this on the list because somebody actually did this, but I wouldn't normally suggest it, but it was hilarious. One of my students didn't want to miss her lesson when she was on holiday, so she had it. She was sitting on the balcony in Spain, I think it was, and she had good Wi-Fi, and so she had her lesson. And that was the first time I've given a lesson to somebody who was on holiday sitting on their hotel balcony, and I just thought that was really cool. That's dedication. So I'm not suggesting that everybody has a lesson when they're on holiday, because, you know, most people just want to get away and have their holiday. But online lessons do make it possible for us to interact with teachers and students anywhere. So yeah, you can, if you have online lessons, you can even have a lesson on holiday. Okay, so that was the seven things. We have books, we have podcasts, we have tour guides in English, news channels in the hotel room, talking to people, making a vlog or audio diary, and if you really want to, having a lesson. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope that's useful. If you do enjoy the podcast, I'm not one of these podcasters who keeps asking for ratings and reviews, because I kind of question the usefulness of them, really. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.